Right, well, also in the news this week, we've got some worrying news emerging from Greenland, because scientists have shown that the ice there is melting, and the time that it's doing that at, the rate at which it's melting at, is increasing. So the melt rate is accelerating. But how do we actually quantify how fast ice is melting from a landmass with any accuracy? Well, there's a paper in the journal Science this week. It's by Bristol University scientist Professor Jonathan Bamber and his colleagues, and it might be able to help us. And Jonathan's with us now to tell us a bit more. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi.
Welcome to The Naked Scientist. So tell us, first of all, what the issue is with Greenland.
So Greenland's the biggest ice mass in the Northern Hemisphere. It's got enough ice in it to, if it melted, you took away the whole ice sheet, it would raise global sea level by about 7 metres.
To put that into perspective then, we would be looking at the Pennines would be about the only bit of Britain left above water, wouldn't they?
No, it's not quite that bad, but you can say bye-bye to the Houses of Parliament, which might be a good thing, but I couldn't comment on that. But 7 metres, that's what, I don't know, about 25 feet, so I'm not suggesting that that's going to happen tomorrow or anything like that, but there is a huge potential for sea level rise in the Greenland ice sheet. I think the other thing about big ice masses like Greenland and Antarctica is that once you set them on a certain course, they're like the sort of super tankers of the climate world. Once you've pointed them in a certain direction, it's very, very difficult to turn them into another way.
How do you quantify how much weight ice, water is going from Greenland?
Well, there's a variety of techniques, but what a lot of scientists have been very excited about in about the last 5-6 years is a satellite mission called GRACE, which stands for the Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment. It doesn't matter what the acronym is, but it's an absolutely amazing mission. It's actually two satellites, and it's able to measure very, very accurately small changes in the gravity field of the Earth. And so if an ice sheet like Greenland loses mass or gains mass for that matter, it can actually measure those variations, and it does it on a roughly monthly timescale.
And what has this told you?
So a number of scientists have looked at this problem with GRACE and with other satellite data as well. And the problem has been with all the previously published results is that there's been a lot of variability in the numbers. In fact, the numbers have differed from each other by about a factor two. You know, some have been double others. But what we've done is actually compared two different approaches using GRACE and an entirely independent approach for measuring the mass balance of the mass loss of the ice sheet, and they tie up pretty well. So it gives us a lot of confidence in our results, and we think that we've sorted out a lot of the issues that have existed with earlier observations. And it's a pretty disturbing picture. In the early 90s, the ice sheet looked like it was relatively close to balance, maybe losing 50 gigatons of ice. A gigaton is 1 billion tons. And in the last few years, that rate has increased to something like 273 gigatons a year. And that's a lot of ice.
That's 273 gigatons, that's a cubic kilometre per gigaton. So that's 273 cubic kilometres.
So, I mean, just to kind of try and... It's very hard with numbers that big to really know what you're talking about here, but one gigaton is about the volume of Lake Windermere. So we're talking about 273 Lake Windermere.
Per year.
Per year. But I think the other interesting statistic I like is that 4 gigatons is enough water to supply the entire domestic water supply of the UK. So 273 is pretty much the water supply of the whole planet.
And that's just melting every year. Has that changed, though? Because one of the points you make in your paper is that there appears to be an acceleration going on. This would, one would presume, be secondary to global climate change. So what's the pattern of that acceleration?
We've seen... GRACE only went up in 2002, and the reliable measurements are only about 6 years of observation. So we don't have a very long record from GRACE. But just in that time, we have seen the rate of increase. We've seen it, I don't know, it's increased by about 2.5 times. So I think the mean for the period for 2003 to 2008 is about 180. But the last 2 years, it's gone up to something like 270 gigatons a year. So that's a big acceleration in mass loss.
So it's almost like Greenland's a sort of barometer of what's happening potentially in other bits of the world, isn't it?
Well, that's one of the interesting things, because I think until we started making some of these observations, most glaciologists and climate scientists felt that the ice sheets responded very, very slowly and not very dramatically to climate change. What we're seeing in Greenland is completely the converse, and I think it surprised a lot of scientists.
Thank you very much for joining us, and I wish that we could end on a happier note, but I guess I only can congratulate you on your research and not on the findings. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
OK, nice to talk to you.
That's Professor Jonathan Bamber, and he's a researcher at the University of Bristol. He's got a paper in the journal Science this week with his explanation as to exactly what's going on in Greenland with respect to loss of water because of melting ice.
Keeping you abreast of the world's best science, The Naked Scientists.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and Diana O'Carroll.
Thank you, Diana. This week we're looking at the processes that lead to the formation of stars and planets and how they actually form from massive great clouds of gas and dust, and also some of the surface processes that are modelling planets today, including Mars, and we'll get to that shortly. If you'd like to give us a call and ask us any questions, any comments for us, of course you can Twitter at us, @NakedScientists, or the email address chris@thenakedscientist.com.